With the harvesters? Amen. When we think of the harvest, I think sometimes we think of like just getting a bag, putting it over our shoulder, not thinking about having 100 harvesters in a field going at once.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. Anyone else would like to respond?
Also about creative.
Create. Everyone is creative. There's a lie in our culture that says only people with artistic skills are creative. And the lie was given by the enemy to make us think that we're less than we actually are, because we are made in the image and likeness of our Father in heaven, and He is really creative. Look at you two, eh? Twinning over there. These two are twinning. Amen. Anyone else like to respond? And feel free to. They're trying to bring truth into a culture that says the opposite. And so when we think about community, we talk about this word that is in the Greek called the ekklesia, which means people join together with a common thought or belief. But if you just stop at ekklesia, what happens is you get to think a lot, but nothing really happens in the heart. You don't ever come to a place called koinonia, which is where my heart is knit with your heart, and then I start to contend for what's on your heart, not because you can do anything for me, but because I love you. And so as we keep seeing this message around the nation happen, we're really excited that God is taking people from just being ekklesia, just thinking together with values, beliefs, and good things, to koinonia, which is a kingdom family. And so people starting to knit their lives together, not in a weird like way in terms of everything's got to know everything, because I actually feel like we're in the greatest oversharing generation ever.
Yes.
And we don't, like, just look at Facebook. I'm not on Facebook for a reason, because I don't need to read when someone's on the toilet, or when someone's washing their clothes. I don't need to read that every day. And, you know, praise God for social media. But we are living in a culture where people expect your opinion. You notice that now? If you even go back a decade, if you wanted to give your opinion, you were like, be quiet, like, don't give your opinion, give it to yourself. And now it's like, if you don't give your opinion, you're some kind of bigot, or you're ancient, or you're a bit slow. But we want to reclaim what Jesus has always wanted, and that is an Eden-like state on the earth, where God is moving all the time through His people. And so that's why for a year now we've been looking at this whole unfolding revelation of what it means to be an apostolic, a prophetic, an evangelistic, a shepherding, and a teaching people, because all that is only for the building up of the body. You know? We live in a dangerous culture where people are like, well, I want to have the gifts of the Spirit and I want to have the power of God so I can have a big ministry. Rather than realizing that the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God, are for building up the saints and calling people into the kingdom. And so we have this unfolding revelation that we're going to talk about today. So in the presence of the Holy Spirit and Yahweh and Jesus Christ, let's just dive into the Word of God and see what He has for us today. We are going to look at the ideals around heaven. I'm going to try and unblock some untruth that is in the culture, especially in the church culture, about heaven. And we're going to think deeply about what it means to be a kingdom people. There's a heap and heap of churches in Australia. Anyone believe that? Yeah? Across the world, there's over 40,000 denominations. And most of them start like this. I got offended at Johnny Smith's church, so I'm going to go and start my own church out of the fence. Right? And so what we've done, we've actually splintered all these things now, and then we have all this teaching that the Bible calls either doctrines of demons or untruth. And so you look at all these things around the world and you think, whoa, there's so many different expressions of who He is, but a lot of it's not actually who He is. And so we've been on an adventure for the last 5.5 years to really try and look at how can we, as a people in this region, the Plains Edge side, we feel called to this region, Plains Edge side, what does it look like to reclaim what biblical Christianity looks like? And it's a really interesting journey. It's interesting to actually unlearn a lot of things that we've been taught in church culture that actually aren't part of what Christ's mission is on the earth right now. And so we never ever do that by putting anyone or a system or a place down at all. We do it by actually encouraging them to come into who Christ actually is. And so it's going to be a fun time this morning. I said to Kath, can I preach for 2 hours? She said, no. I said, thank you for permission. Amen. Bless you. Oh, yeah, so...
we're not having lunch anymore
this
morning,
Dave. So, because our services, because the Lord has been moving, and people have been saying two things to us, can you please go weekly, which we are going to, but just not yet. So we're just fortnightly. We have things happening every week. I'll explain that a little later. But also, we're going to... so people can go and have lunch together, or they can do something in the afternoon. We're going to be having a morning tea now here at Sanctuary. Hang around, get together, ministry time, and then but there will be no lunch from now. So, and the reason being is that people were spending so much time and so much effort in getting them into church that it was actually taking them away from where they wanted to be, which actually could be part of what was going on. So we're totally good to do that. So amen to that. Oh, welcome back, Kevin.
Hey.
How's your new leg? Amen. Kevin's got his new leg. Kev's got his new leg. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. So good. So good. So Hebrews 6 says this. So with God's enablement, we will move on to deeper truth. And when the writer of Hebrews is actually talking of this, verses 1 through to 5 are talking about this incredible thing where we need to move on from, it says, elementary truths. And he mentions some incredible things. The laying on of hands and prayer ministry is an elementary truth. Interesting, isn't it? The arguing about the judgment of the dead is an elementary truth. And so the Holy Spirit has been calling us as a community, and through the people that have been sharing, so the people who have been teaching, through our men and women, and we're big on that, men and women minister together and they can minister, that we've actually been unfolding that we're going into deeper truth. But what does that deeper truth look like and how can we explore it together? And so as we go on today, if you feel something happening in your spirit where you're like, I'd love to ask that question, at the end I'm going to provide a time for questions, and we're not going to do Q&A because I don't believe in question and answer, I believe in question and response. Right? Because if we give a finite thing of question and answer, then we stop it. But if we give a response, then it's an opportunity for people to grow in what they think God is calling them to do. And it's actually an inclusive thing in our culture rather than a finite thing of, well, we've given the answer, now that's it. Whereas in this community, or this koinonia, we are actually responding because everyone in here has value together that moves us forward. That word, when it talks about apostle, or if our people are an apostolos people, the word apostolos means an armada of ships with a lead ship at the front plundering new territory. But it is a group and it's a family of ships that are together. So think about that as we go today. Romans 8:18 says this, I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The writer in Romans, who's the writer to Romans? Paul, the apostle, is not talking about a futuristic tense or a place when you leave the earth. I'm going to try and break two truths today. The first one is escape theology. So we need to all escape the earth before it gets really bad. And the second one is this whole thing around rapture, right? And Paul is making it a mandate in his teaching that you don't have to wait until that time, whenever that time is, to experience the kingdom of God. He wants his followers and his disciples to know, and the churches in Asia all over the place, that the magnitude of glory is being unveiled within us. It's not being unveiled when we get to a certain place, or if you've been in religion lately, you get to a certain level. It's actually magnitude of glory within you because you're growing in intimacy with Jesus Christ. If it goes on and says this, the entire universe, hallelujah, is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling glory of God's glorious sons and daughters. Did you hear that? The whole of the cosmos, or the whole of the universes, are on tiptoe with anticipation, waiting for sons and daughters to understand who they are in Christ. Yes. And then the kingdom of God won't be a thing that is far away, but is a thing that is not only present and available, but released. Okay? The gifts of the Spirit have been taught that they are to make people this supernatural thing. No, the gifts of the Spirit are actually natural when the kingdom is present. In the Greek, the word gift was added to try and explain something that couldn't be explained. And so the word in the original is not there. The word gift is not there. In Corinthians it says this, when someone is being spiritual in the kingdom, these things are present. Okay? We go on. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequence of human sin. So what's creation waiting for right now? What's global warming waiting for right now? Manifest sons and daughters who steward the kingdom well on the earth.
Wow.
Jesus Christ died so we could have a place with him in heaven, correct? But that wasn't all. Right? He died so you and I could steward an Eden-like state on the earth now.
Amen.
And then when he comes again, he is going to come and fulfill all things and return all things to how they should be, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have this incredible mission that is way more than telling people they're going to hell. That we have this incredible mission to steward the kingdom of heaven on the earth right now, anticipating and waiting, it says in 2 Peter 3:12, for the day of the Lord to come. Right? And so we have this incredible opportunity in Christ to partner with him. You know, evangelism becomes really easy when you're not trying to tell someone to go to hell. When you're a person who is living in the kingdom, evangelism flows out of you because Christ, it says, is in you like what? A river of living water. And the next part we always miss. Bubbling up unto eternity. So Ecclesiastes says this. That God or Jehovah has put in the heart of every person eternity. Not salvation. Eternity. So when eternity bubbles up out of you because you're living a kingdom life, maybe you're a plumber or an architect or whatever you are, as it bubbles up out of you, the eternity in the other person that God always put there is going to respond to that eternity. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where you're not having to try heaps hard to win people to Christ, Because the kingdom of God is moving.
Yes.
Alright?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes.
You can stop me and you can ask anything. Okay? You can always do that. Go on, it says this in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, which was the first chapter I read, because when I got saved, I was like, if I read the end, I'll know what happened. Now, you have to understand something. I didn't grow up in any church. So I get the book, I get my first Bible, I go all the way to the end, like I did at school when you cheated on tests. There's no one here ever cheated on a test, ever. And no one in here watched a movie instead of reading the book, ever. Right? No one did that. Who remembers VCRs? Oh, they were so good. Young people were like, huh? Right? And so, yeah, that's it. And so I read this and I'm like, angels, rivers, oh my gosh, there's trees that had fruit every day. Wow, every month, oh, what is this? And I got really messed up and I started reading Revelation. I thought, man, there's dragons. I said, what have I got myself into? You're kidding me. So it says this, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, flowing with water clear as crystal, continuously pouring out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The river was flowing in the middle of the street of the city, and on either side of the river was the tree of life with its 12 kinds of ripe fruit according to each month of the year. The leaves of the tree of life, listen to this, are for the healing of the nations. Now I'm going to say something that's going to be a bit like stretch in a minute, but just bear with me. And every curse will be broken and no longer exist. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there in the city. His loving servants will serve him. They will constantly see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. They will never need the light of the sun or a lamp, because the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign as kings forever and ever.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay. The leaves of the trees of life are for the healing of the nations. Can someone tell me in heaven is there disease? Is there sadness? Is there crying? Is there gnashing of teeth? That's what the Bible says, right? But this says the leaves are for the healing of the nations. If this was talking about heaven only, there wouldn't be a need for healing nations, right? We have to understand the book of Revelation is not only the hardest book to translate, but this is one of the hardest chapters to translate. And also, remember, John, the apostle, who's on the island of Patmos, on the day the Lord gets taken into the Spirit, and Jesus says to him this, come up here and I will show you things to come, right? To come, right? And so what we have John caught in the Spirit. For years we've been taught that Revelation was about heaven, right? But it's impossible for John to see all of heaven. So the book of Revelation is not about everything in heaven or everything that's going on in heaven, because it's impossible for John to see all that. He was shown what he was allowed to be shown, okay? And so what we have this incredible chapter in the Bible that is a prototype of what the earth and everything is going to look like when the fullness of the kingdom is here, present, yes? When the new heaven comes down and the new earth, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then, if we are to be people of the kingdom, we should be seeing things that are there, here, now.
Yeah.
Not because we are some fanciful people, but because he said, when you pray, my kingdom come, and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Now that word kingdom is the same word here. It's the same, exactly the same word translated. Okay? And we're going to look today about what it actually means to be a people who are surrounded by heaven. A few months ago, Amariah and myself were just singing, as we do, but we have secret songs, don't we, Amy? And we're not allowed to share them with anybody. Right? But one of the songs that she sang, Kath got the same lyrics maybe a couple of days or a week later. And the song was, what does it look like when heaven comes down? Right? So she's just sitting this in the room. And it's taking me on a journey of discovery about what have we been taught about heaven, and what have we been not taught about heaven, and what do we need to actually renew and re-establish in the church so we can understand what it actually means. And so this might not be a one-time thing, this might be a 10-time thing, I don't know. But we have the freedom and the responsibility in the Word of God to actually present it properly. And so a lot of what we've been taught about heaven and hell have come from two people, Plato and Dante. Okay, and these philosophers, whatever it's called, right? How good am I doing? Those two people were both unsaved anti-Christ thinkers. But they influenced the way that the body of Christ was taught about heaven and about hell. Okay? And so we need to renew and re-establish what the Word of God says about what heaven actually is. And so we're going to have a little bit of fun today. Psalm 1 says this: His pleasure and passion is remaining true to the word of I am, meditating day and night in the true revelation of light. And then says this in verse 3: He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of his life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. That only can happen if you're living in the kingdom. That can't happen if we're living from week to week in religion. Or maybe I'll get it this week. That has to be about a kingdom person. I haven't got the time today, but I'm going to unfold it and unwrap it nicely to you over the next few months. Is that Psalm 1, Ezekiel 47, and Revelation 22 all have the same language in them. Right? They're all talking about this heavenly place that is not a place that we're waiting to go to, but is a place that we have access to now because of what Jesus did alone.
Amen.
None of us have a big enough revelation to get into heaven by ourselves.
Amen.
Right? Only Christ, and only through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father on the throne, which the Bible says is above all the heavens, is the only way we have access to this. And so there's nothing funky or weird about heaven, but we've been taught, oh, heaven, oh, no, just don't talk like, yeah, you one day you'll get there. Or you hear this, I hope my grandma's in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? I don't know, some place up there where you go when you're dead? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, yeah, I'm just going to slow down a bit, right? Matthew 25, can we turn there in our Bibles, please? If you haven't got a Bible, you can have mine. Go for it. But Matthew 25, and I just want to sit in here for a little bit. I'm just going to check my time. Because I think we need to understand and think about carrying weight. You ever heard the Aussie saying, oh, your words don't carry no weight, mate? Right? Or someone who carries weight in their words is someone that you listen to, correct? Yep. And my prayer often for us as a community and for people coming into this kingdom family is that we will be really, really heavy people. You might think, that's a really bad, don't pray that like. I'm not talking heavy like after you put that 14th brownie in your mouth. I'm talking heavy. Sorry, I'm talking. He can take it. Dan, I should have. Actually, Dan, can you please tell us, how is that brownie health food?
Alright, we got.
He's a doctor, by the way.
Which is just grains, really.
Flowers and grain, that's good for you.
We've got chocolate, which is made from cocoa. That's a
vegetable
seed.
Yeah, okay.
It's just salad, really.
It's a salad.
Got dairy mixed in there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brownies are now salad. You heard it from a doctor.
Amen.
Right? Praise God. Praise God. But when we carry weight, we don't have to do anything. We can just release it. When we don't carry weight, we're doing activity to try and make ourselves look like we carry weight. And so early on in ministry, so I got saved out of a radical lifestyle of everything sin except for two sins that I've got committed, right? One of them being murder, another one being loving the same person of my gender, right? But everything else I feel like I was exposed to or I was put in, and not by my own accord, by other people as well. And so what we have is we have this incredible thing where when we get saved, who was excited when they got saved? Oh, how good was it? Oh, how passionate were you? Oh, and who hasn't lost that passion? That's good, amen. Well, we keep going. But as we mature in Christ, we start to exchange our passion for anointing. And so we realize we don't have to be as passionate, we don't have to go, oh, because we can carry something that carries weight. Right? And at the end of the day, Jesus said this, I'm going to come back to the earth and I'm going to be looking for one thing. Faith. Right? And I'm looking for faith on the earth. What a beautiful statement. He could have used any language there, but he chose to use this Aramaic, there's an Aramaic play, there's a Greek play in that word, and he's releasing, he wants to see faith on the earth. Wow. And so Matthew 25 is a story about, well, what's been taught to us is a story about money. But it's actually not a story about money. I'll just say that to you. It's a story about what happens when you get the kingdom of God and what you do with it. Some people, and does that apply to the economic realm? 1,000%, right? But it's not fully based on money. And so a man, let's just quickly read this, it says this. For it will be like a man, what will be? The kingdom of God's heaven realm. Will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. I want you to think about Jesus being the man who goes on a journey.
Yeah.
Right? To one he gave 5 talents or 5,000 gold coins. Who wants 5,000 gold coins right now? Oh, that'd be all right, that. Wow. Okay? To another he gave 2,000 gold coins or 2 talents. And to another he gave 1,000 gold coins or 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Now, what does the Bible say about Jesus? It says that the gifts of the Spirit are about moving his kingdom, but they're available to who? Everybody. Right? But it says Jesus, not the Holy Spirit, Jesus appoints those to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. Does that mean every single person is called to that? No. Is that okay? Yes. Right? And so we have this thing where he gave each according to his ability. Then he went away. Jesus has gone away. But he's here. Amen? Yeah. We agree?
Yep.
He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he gained 5 talents more.
Yeah.
So also the one with 2 talents. But the one who had received 1 went and dug a hole in the ground that hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made you 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.
Wow.
And he also, who had 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I've made you 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Whether they receive 5 or 2, it's the same response from the master. Why? Because they were both faithful stewards.
No.
Amen.
And then,
that's it. And then it says this. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master said, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has been given, he will have an abundance For to everyone who has will more be given, and he, everyone who has will, sorry, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Think about this. Think about religion and then the kingdom. Religion will bring fear upon you that if you don't secure what you've got, you're going to be in trouble. Right? But the kingdom realm allows you to come into an operation of when your master goes away, you're his representative. And you are to do with your master's stuff what he would do with it, which is to make more of it. And so what's he saying here? Listen, when the kingdom realm comes around you, when this thing about heaven opens up and you start to experience what heaven actually is, you will not be trying to hide it away into your little club. You'll be trying to get it out so people can experience it, right? Interestingly enough, it says this, the one that was given one talent, that was given to the one who made 10. And we think about abundance, right? So I want you to think right now about the most extravagant abundance. You're going to respond in a moment. So just think, talk with your friend next to you. What is the most extravagant abundance you can think of right now? Just think about the most extravagant abundance you can think of right now. Someone say it. What you got?
No, sorry.
What's that?
New heaven and earth.
New heaven and new earth? Yep. Okay. What else?
A passive income and the ability to build a church.
Amen. The passive income and the ability to build a church. Amen. What else have we got?
Holy Spirit filled 24/7.
Holy Spirit filled 24/7. Okay. I'm thinking Swartz Bakery in my kitchen. Oh, that's dangerous. Swartz Bakery is dangerous. You go in there and all of a sudden you're sucked into the cake. And they're like, it's $8. Oh, well, Lord, okay. I won't do this on this week, Lord. Just give me that piece of cake. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's me. I'm like, oh, yes. What else? Abundance, yes.
Everyone is sick healed.
Everyone is sick healed. Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
Having access to all the riches of heaven.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. That's just remind me of that in a moment. Yes.
Abundant harvest.
Abundant harvest, yes. Anything else?
Flourishing.
Everything.
Every day. Full
Everyone would know the Lord.
Yes. Okay. We keep going on and on. Yes. Revival, yes. And not a flash in the pan that comes and goes, but one that stays.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Probably unicorns riding along the blue mountains. They're in the Bible. You think I'm still? Go check it out. You've only got about 13 verses where they're mentioned, right? Amen. And so, what I'm getting at is this, is that there are opportunities for us to grow his kingdom based on our faith and belief in what heaven actually is. And so now I want to dig a little bit deeper down into what heaven actually is before we have some ministry talk. So in the system of bad religion, the teaching and theology of escaping to heaven and the teaching and theology of a Superman Jesus are both what has underpinned the majority of the church's teaching about heaven and has left the body of Christ in flux. Okay? Flux is in the like, and powers, right? With the notion and therefore the behavior that heaven is not close and somewhat unattainable, these teachings and belief systems are being broken down so we can rebuild, Adam Wilkes, with authentic Jesus-based theology on heaven. I'll just go back and read it again. In a system of bad religion, the teaching and theology of escaping to heaven and the teaching and theology of a Superman Jesus are both what has underpinned the majority of the church's teaching about heaven and has left the body of Christ in flux. Most of the church has been taught you are going to escape one day to heaven. Right? So you're going to escape to this place that's incredible and just going to leave the earth in its own state. And we've also been taught Jesus is your Superman. No, he's not. He sits above the heavens. And he rules over everything, okay? And then we have, therefore, our behavior has been a response to what we've been taught, okay? And so when we think about heaven, we think about this place that's far away that I will go once I die, okay? Okay, that's been the notion of the church in Australian history. Okay? Systems are being broken down so we can rebuild this with authentic Jesus-based theology of heaven. Slow is not old and broken, and fast is not new and fresh. Think about this and let it come into your spirit that you talk to someone, I'm a Christian, oh yeah, you believe in that old system of thing that is rubbish. You need a fresh perspective. The freshest perspective we can have doesn't come from this realm. Okay? It comes from the Spirit of God and He shares that with us. Okay? We're going to talk about a couple of definitions in a moment, but I'll read this, what I've been writing first of all. In the kingdom realm, we are constantly and consistently being taught to refrain our thinking as He unfolds to us, and also refrain from bad thinking that has been against Christ and based on opinion at best. We are blessed to being released from bad religion and being transformed into the image and likeness of Yahweh and His Christ. Heaven has the complete fullness of love. Oh, it's all about Jesus. You hear that often? Oh, it's just all about Jesus. If that was completely true, only Jesus, then He wouldn't need any of us. It's all about Jesus, yes, but He needs people on the earth to actually release His kingdom. Okay? So the statement is true, it's all about Jesus, but the statement is not finished. Okay? And so what you come up against is this. You come up against people, especially in religious thinking or other religions, where they're like, oh, no, Jesus is just the thing. I believe in Jesus. He's got good values. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But their life looks nothing like the kingdom. Okay? And so what we want to do is we want to actually reclaim what it means to follow Jesus and what it actually means to know about heaven itself. Okay? Are we all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Excellent. So let's dig into the Word of God. The Bible has seven words for heaven. There's three in the Hebrew Old Testament, and there is four in the New Testament. And all these words, remember, the Hebrew language is a picture language. So when people are speaking Hebrew, they're actually the words are trying to describe a picture that was drawn to express an ideal or notion that was actually given. Okay? The Greek is a little bit easier to understand. But we'll go through it. So, the most common word for heaven is what we call Oremus, and that means this: happiness, power, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and eternity.
Wow.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. We get told heaven's a place that's far away, but the actual definition of the Bible means the gospel. Yeah. Alright? Yeah. It means this: the side reel, or the starry hosts. And just a few verses here. Hebrews 4:4 says Christ passed through the heavens and ascended above all the heavens in 4:10. Christ passed through the heavens and ascended above all the heavens. Okay? Then we get into this beautiful word which is called Shama. This Hebrew word which is spelled S-H-A-M-A-H. Shama. I'm going to read my notes to this because I think it's really important for us to understand what heaven actually means. And I hope you get really excited and start running around the room when you hear what heaven actually is compared to what we've been taught. Okay, so here we go. So this is the translation that the Lord has been giving us about heaven. It extends from the air we breathe and the winds we feel around us all the way to the firmament and the expanse that contains immeasurable stars.
Wow, forever.
From the air you breathe, to the wind you feel, yeah, all the way to the outermost cosmos's cosmos, that is heaven. This includes and exceeds for where our intellect ceases to operate and fails to find the limit to the extension of space. There, faith comes in. So when our intellect fails us, heaven is past there. When our mind can't comprehend, actually the word Shama means this. You can't translate this word with your mind. It's too incredible. locality or extension can never adequately describe the Lord. Right? The heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Jesus. Think about that. The word Shema means it's the heavens and the heavens inside the heavens cannot contain Jesus Christ. They can't contain him. They cannot contain him. I love this. The stars are fixed and set in course, individually and altogether at the same time, by him and his wisdom alone. So Christ put all the stars in orbit at once, one by one, at the same time. We can't comprehend that. Right? And then it says he did it in his wisdom. That's Shema. We go on and says this. Where he is, there is the true heaven and the glories, listen to this word, of ineffable bliss. The word ineffable means this. Too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words. This word comes from the root word shemayin, which means where visions take place. Which is out of 1 Chronicles 21:16, where David, there was a war happening, and King David looked up and he saw between the earth and the heavens this space. And as he looked into that space, he saw angels with swords. Right? When Jesus prayed this prayer, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It could have been written like this. On earth as it was in Eden. At all, on earth as it was supposed to be before it fell. This word, Shayamin, also has this in any mention before. It has this. Being able to access the storehouse of the Lord and seeing the Lord dispense all of the storehouse into the earthly realm.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay, three thoughts quickly about heaven. Don't think about height when you think about heaven, but think about something being absolute. Okay? So we've been taught to think about heaven as being high, not thinking about being absolute. If it goes from the breath of your mouth all the way to the outermost cosmos is cosmos is cosmos, that's absolute. Correct? Some people would argue with you, probably really well with theological paradigms, that there are places on the earth that have got nothing to do with heaven. But the word of God says that his glory will cover the earth as the water covers the sea, right? And Corinthians tells us that God's glory is a what? It's an ever-increasing glory. What good can come out of Mount Druitt? Heaps. If a son or a daughter goes there with the kingdom of heaven and starts to steward what should have been there in the first place. What good can come out of Redfern? Well, if a son or daughter got an understanding of the revelation of the kingdom of God and heaven and went there on purpose and started to release that, then we would start to see that place become like heaven. Right? What good could come out of North Katoomba? Well, a son or daughter who is sent there on mission to enforce his kingdom realm will see that place become like heaven. I do not think we have to wait until Jesus returns for the earth to look everything it's going to look like. I believe he wants us to steward heaven on the earth now, and the fullness of that will come when he returns. We could go on and on. What would South Central Compton in the US look like if a son or daughter decided that they were sent there and they wanted to bring heaven to the earth and they believed that heaven would break in? It would start to look more and more like heaven. Amen? Yeah. Who can say amen today if you believe?
Amen. Okay.
So God's realm is so unique that we should never try and actually equate it, the Bible says, with physical things. When you hear Ezekiel or Isaiah or anyone else talk about heaven or the Son of Man, they say one like a Son of Man. Now, why do they say like? Because the author is trying to describe something they can't describe.
Yeah.
I get nervous when people say, I've seen God's face. Okay, but the Bible says that no one's seen his like. Alright?
Yeah.
We have to be careful. Joseph Smith, who started an incredible religion, right? He had an awesome vision, angels, but what he did with the vision was the worst thing he could have done, which is made himself part of the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? Visions are not bad, we teach all the time, and dreams aren't bad. But they need to be surrendered to the cross of Christ and to his teaching so we can actually pick up what is good and throw it with that. I'll give you an example. I went to a meeting once, and it's difficult when you're the preacher to go to a meeting and receive words afterwards because you've already preached. So someone came to me and this lady said to me, you are going to be the greatest evangelist ever to walk the earth. And I was like, well, that's prophelying. I didn't say it to her. That's not prophesying. Right? Now, no, but I'm not being funny too much because this, when someone's operating out of religion, you can see a gift. Gifting's easy to see. I can watch Australian Idol and go, what a gift.
Yeah.
Whether the gift's surrendered to Christ or not is the next thing.
Yeah.
But what's harder to see and has to come from prophecy, true prophecy, is the treasure that hasn't been unearthed yet.
Yeah.
That is in that person that Christ is going to call out.
Yeah.
Okay? That place is only accessed in the heavenly realm. Like it'd be easy, wouldn't it, to go to Bunnings? Who goes to Bunnings with no agenda and comes out with stuff out there? Kmart, 24 hours.
So good.
We went to a conference last week, the first conference ever Catholic I've been together. Sat down, no kids.
Wow.
Right? It was foreign. And on the way home, we're like, let's go to Kmart. So me and Kathy went to Kmart, we had nice clothes on.
Yes.
She made
you
wear.
She started it.
But there's this incredible thing that happens that when you start to access that heavenly realm, not in a weird way. See, the Blue Mountains is full of people that want to access heaven. Or they want to access the Spirit. Because inside of them is something yearning for salvation and the yearning for something to be more than life as it is. Right? They just choose the wrong path. Okay? None of those paths lead to God or Yahweh. Only Christ leads to that path. But there are many ways that people meet Jesus. And so our prayer for this region is not that people would get saved. I think that's a low standard. We want to pray that people would actually come into his kingdom realm. Because I know a lot of people that say they're saved, but their lives don't look like Jesus. Okay? Well, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to, you ask a typical Aussie, you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven, mate. I've been heaps good. And I said, sorry to that bloke that I bunched the other day. They'll say, oh yeah, mate, I'm going to heaven, mate. Yeah, sweet. And then there's nothing in their life that looks like the kingdom realm of heaven on the earth now. We have an opportunity to continue to slow down and to understand these things that God is giving this community through all different voices. And that we would actually start to think about the Blue Mountains or the plains on either side, that the greatest thing that could happen is they become the heavenized version of themselves. Heavenized is not a word that's been made up by myself a few weeks ago. So I couldn't explain what I wanted to say, so I said heavenized instead. Okay, so when something is heavenized, I believe it's coming into its original intention. Okay? I would say this, and I've written this on the prayer release, and please don't think I'm some super Christian freak. But I've written on the prayer release, praying for new species of plants to happen. Because I want a marker of what's going on. I want to see something that I haven't seen before. They talk about wallet-eyed pines. I want to see something just pop up that hasn't